Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, a new way to be healthy and experience the parks, Celebrate Soulfully brings music and art to downtown Disney.
Dapper Days are coming up. We talked to Debbie and Steve about packing for your trip to the parks and more. DL Weekly starts now.
This is your captain speaking to you from the wheelhouse. I'd like to welcome all of you aboard the DL Weekly podcast. For safe passage on our trip, please do not sit or climb on the outside railings. And be sure to watch your children. The water can be unpredictable in these parts, and we'd sure hate to lose any of you.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of February 9th, 2022. I'm Teresa Urban.
And I'm Tig Bushman. We want to send a shout out and a big thank you to Vern W. for becoming an official weekly tier and for Michael C. for increasing their support. Our supporters get some pretty fun perks like DL Weekly swag, bonus content, and access to our Discord community. If you'd like some more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to join in the community.
It's that time again for our friend Eric over at Concierge to catch us up on other Disney news.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concierge, and welcome to the D180. While Teg and Teresa cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We begin our journey on, well, both coasts. What a twist! February is Black History Month, and Disney has celebrations planned at both Walt Disney World and Disneyland. Disney World kicked off the Celebrate Soulfully event last year, and they're going to reprise that role in 2022. Black artists will bring Motown, jazz, R&B, and pop hits to Disney Springs all month long. At Epcot's American Adventure, return to the soul of jazz, an exhibit that describes that quintessential American music form in its development from Kansas City to Harlem. The exhibit features artifacts from famous jazz artists as well as nods to the movie Soul. In Disneyland, Celebrate Gospel returns to the parks, moving from DCA stages to perform at Disney's Fantasyland Theater for the first time. Multiple artists take the stage this year, including Kiara Shepherd, Sacred Groove, Molly Music, The Singers of Soul, and community choirs from around Southern California. The Downtown Disney District also features guests on its stage near the Disneyland Hotel. There's so much music happening around the resort that you'll need multiple visits to catch it all. Let's hop a flight to Europe to hit up a region whose towns I can pronounce a little better than those French ones from last time. Adventures by Disney has an adventure planned for the whole family spanning 8 days, 7 nights, 17 meals, and 15 locations around Norway. No, Arendelle is not a real place, but fjords are real, and you can see them here. Say willkommen as you prepare for your journey around this Scandinavian landscape. Depart to Voss for some river rafting and waterfall seeing before you head to Flom. Yes, Flom. Your hotel here gives you amazing views of fjords that would make Slarty Bartfast weep in pride. Oh, wait. Many of you won't get that reference, probably. Oh, well. Anyway, spend a few days hiking and cruising around that coastline and visit a few of the early Norwegian Christian stave churches that date back to the 12th century. If you've ever seen the reproduction of one of these churches at Epcot's Norway, get ready for the real thing. Round out your trip in Norway's Oslo, where the old meets new. Say farvel to the Scandinavian nation while folk dancers, dance, while you enjoy the delicacies of the north. Well, that's enough reality for now, right? Let's head south to a place where there's a theme park, okay? Disneyland Paris unveiled the next step in their Avengers campus recently, and it's different from what we see in the U.S. A Quinjet landed, and according to the traditions of comic books and the Marvel Cinematic Universe itself, it's different from the one that we see at Disney's California Adventure. Imagineers want to connect the campuses in Paris, Anaheim, and the Stark Expo in Hong Kong Disneyland. So the jet looks a little bit different, but it's focused on that great big beautiful tomorrow of Paris's Avengers campus. The Avengers campus opens up this summer in 2022, so be sure to look for more news on that front. Speaking of Hong Kong Disneyland, let's spin that globe a bit to head to their park. No Avengers content in this portion, as we're going to look at the Castle of Magical Dreams. Yes, that's actually the name of their castle in the hub of the park. At that castle, you can find a jewelry shop. Inside said shop, named Enchanted Treasures, look for a pure gold replica of the castle that stands almost 3 feet high. It weighs nearly 20 pounds and is worth, get this, $2 million. You can buy it, folks. The first guest to buy this treasure is also entitled to a lifetime pass to the park. If you don't have that kind of cash, you can still get in on the action with a few selfies in front of the castle. If you want a more affordable, smaller version of the castle, you can buy a Christmas tree ornament for about $20,000. Or spend about $600 on a collection of golden coins celebrating Disney princesses. Or buy a t-shirt for a few bucks. I don't know, gold's an investment, right? And that's 180 seconds. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you would like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both DL Weekly and us, their official travel planners, Consi Ears. We look forward to planning something special for you and your family. I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Well, thanks, Eric, for that lovely amount of information about the rest of the Disney universe. Now let's get to the news.
A unique experience has come to the resort for guests of the Disneyland Resort hotels. A range of new fitness classes are now available for overnight guests. What makes these classes so magical is that some of them are offered inside the parks. One of the options, the boot camp in Disney California Adventure Park, is a high-intensity boot camp where guests will move from land to land before the park opens. Another option is the obstacle challenge, which takes place at the Redwood Creek Challenge Trail before the park opens as well. There's also a power walking option that takes place in DCA. For a full list of all classes and to reserve your spot, check out the links in our show notes.
So this is kind of interesting. I'm actually surprised that they have not offered something like this before, because it seems, after reading about it, that it seems like it'd be such a great idea and so easy, especially considering the fact that, you know, the hotels are right there, especially the Grand California, mm-hmm. You can come in. What a great place to, a way to motivate yourself to get some exercise. I mean, I feel like, you know, maybe this would encourage me to do some early morning exercise if I could get into an empty park and just kind of be in the atmosphere. I mean, we kind of experienced that a little bit when we were there for Touch of Disney and didn't go on any attractions, but we were just kind of in the area. So kind of a neat thing. Do any of these types of things sound interesting to you?
I would probably do one of the yoga classes. That would be fun for me, but the classes are about 30 to 45 minutes in length, and they're offered through the Tinea Stone Spa and Fitness Center. So they just look so cool. There's, of course, link in our show notes, has all sorts of great photos of these classes and participants hanging out in the park doing these things. I mean, I do have to laugh because we had someone in the chat that just said, you know, just going to the parks is already a ton of exercise, which you are not wrong. I want to say we usually are somewhere between like 25 to 30,000 steps on our park day. So it's a lot. So maybe the yoga to like
calm and center you.
Calm and like
stretch you out to get ready in the morning.
Stretch. Yes, there you go. Stretch out so we can get in all of those steps.
I feel like one of these was like we did with the candy canes, the power walking workout.
they need to, Disney, you need to make it the candy cane shuffle when it is the holiday time.
However, the most exciting thing for me is the obstacle challenge. I feel like that's the one that I'd be most likely to do.
That, you know, that's a good one. I like that they included that because it's, you know, it's really an area. The Redwood Creek Challenge Trail is really an area set up for kids. Mm-hmm. So, but it's fun. We went bouncing around on the ropes course when we were there. Mm-hmm. But it's just kind of different, right? Because there's kids, so you don't want to like get in their way,
run over them
or scare them. Because like when we were actually going down it, there was this little girl who was very nervous and very scared and trying to be very brave. And anytime
death gripping the side.
Yes. And so anytime somebody would walk next to her and would, you know, cause the ground to bounce, because right, it's a ropes course, she'd get even more scared. So, you know, it's adults like to have fun too, but we don't want to take away any of the experience from the kids. So it's a nice way to kind of compromise for that.
Now, what I want, and I don't know if this will ever happen, is I want some exercise stuff in Disneyland, because all these things are in California Adventure.
Well, you know, I think the nice thing about California Adventure is there's space.
Sure.
So you can have, you know, however many people in a class, whereas Disneyland, if you're going to do like the yoga, you could do yoga in front of the castle. Mm-hmm. You could do it in Galaxy's front of the Rivers Edge of America, or like in Galaxy's Edge by like the Millennium Falcon. But there's not as many big,
sure,
more open space. Like California just has more space.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. But some of these things are, you know, like the power walking. There's one, I think it's mostly the power walking one that'll take you up to 2 miles mm-hmm. around. I feel like you could walk through the different lands and stuff. I don't know. Yeah, I just feel like atmosphere-wise, I like Disneyland.
Yeah, the other thing, too, that DCA has going for it is, like you said, it has that dedicated hotel entrance, so you wouldn't have to have people at the turnstiles to let them in. So that might, logistically, it's probably a little bit easier for
you. Well, you get them on the monorail, and you bring them in through Toontown, and you get a cool little monorail
you
trip,
You bring them in through Toontown?
Bring them in through Tomorrowland. You don't know? The monorail stops in Toontown now. That's what all the construction was. Well, Downtown Disney has joined in on the fun of celebrating Black History Month and Disney's Celebrate Soulfully. Chalk artist and senior production artisan of Disney Live Entertainment, Marcella Sweat, is creating chalk art near the old ESPN Zone building on the ground. She'll be creating a new creation every week. Live music featuring R&B, reggae, funk, and jazz will be available throughout the month, and Ralph Brennan's Jazz Kitchen has jazz piano nightly.
So, of course, there's going to be a link in our show notes, but Mice Chat had really great photos of the chalk art, and it's gorgeous.
She's talented.
Chalk art has always been, it's just always been really interesting to me because I am not very good at drawing in general, and then really like trying to create something like this, it's like a painting on the sidewalk, and it's with chalk, which... It's incredible. And this photo that they have a picture of her first, I believe it's the first one she did for the celebration, is just beautiful. Lots of vibrant colors, detail. I mean, impressive. Very, very impressive. I do appreciate the fact that they have it roped off so that the Disney walker that may not be paying any sort of attention doesn't accidentally walk over it or anything, but it's gorgeous. It's very vibrant, very powerful.
I would love to see her there drawing it. I think that would, like, it's cool to see in person once it's done, but I'd really like to see them going through the process.
Yeah, because the thing that I'm always impressed with is chalk art is never small. It's never, like an 8x10 something. No.
Right?
They're massive. They're massive. So I'm like, how did you, like, for example, this photo of a woman, she's got like a dress on. How do you do these big, long, sweeping motions? You have to like be walking and drawing at the same time. It's just... very, very impressive. Well done. I hope we get to see pictures of more of the chalk art that she creates. Very, very cool. The other thing I thought was very fun that they're kind of tying into, they're making, right, we're making lemonade out of our lemons. As you know, that side, the far side of Downtown Disney, has been closed, is now closed. So unfortunately, well, the theater's closed, it's been closed. But Starbucks is closed, Sugar Boo is closed, and... Earl of Sandwich is closed currently. We're very sad about all those things, but they have the construction walls are up. They're fun, bright, colorful, vibrant.
Yeah.
But there's all sorts of other artwork to go in with the Celebrate Soulfully theme. All sorts of like very fun other things by other artists. I love that they're using the construction walls.
Oh yeah.
As like displays.
Why not? Like, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. I love it. I love it. I love it. I saw just a couple of pictures. I didn't see who the artists were or anything like that because the pictures show that there was little write-ups next to the photos, but I couldn't actually read what the write-ups were. Lots, the ones that Mice Chat had, it looks like stuff from the movie Soul as well as some other art too. So very, very fun.
Yeah, if anybody's there when this artist is there drawing, send us a clip. That'd be cool.
For weekly tiers that like dressing up and looking dapper in the parks, an annual event is coming up. The Spring 2022 Dapper Day is scheduled for Sunday, April 24th, with the Dapper Day Expo taking place April 23rd and 24th. Dapper Day is typically twice per year, once in the spring and once in the fall. For all the details and to get tickets and discounted hotel stays, visit the link in our show notes.
You know, one of these days we've got to try to be at the parks for a Dapper Day because I would love to dress up, and not even that, but I'd love to just see everybody else dressing up because I've seen pictures from this event from previous years and people get so creative. I mean, we've even had weekly tiers not on Dapper Days that we've seen and met in the parks and they dress very nicely. So I feel it's great to go and see all this stuff and see these people in their creative costumes. Some people, you know, they have off the shelf stuff. Some people have created their own outfits and stuff. It's very cool. Very, very, very cool. Would you take part in this?
Yeah, for sure. I think the, people watching. I think people watching would be epic on Dapper Day to just check out everyone's fun outfits and all their different whatever hairstyles, shoes, handbags, you name it, all the fun accessories that they've got. And the thing a lot of people do is they kind of Disney bound with their Dapper Day attire as well. So that would be really fun to try and catch and spot different Disney bounds. I think people watching would be a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Just like you said, Kate, best day for people watching. I seriously would just like find myself a bench somewhere, but I'd have to find a good spot.
That'd be like a really good people watching day at Disney. Just sit there, get a Dole Whip.
I bet you it's a very...
Get your little cold brew.
I bet Dapper Days is probably a very like enjoyable, relaxing day to be at the park because, you know, majority of people aren't rushing from attraction to attraction to attraction. It's more of just like strolling and just enjoying being in the space and not necessarily... How many rides can we get done today? And how many, you know, whatever, all that kind of stuff. Rushing to dining reservations, all that the kind of chaos that can kind of come with
I'm interested
a park day.
To see how all of these different events go now that there's reservations and stuff. Because before, without reservations, people could just show up on that day or whatever. Yeah. But I'm interested to see the mix up of people. Because I know, for instance, Mice Chat is having their 20-year anniversary celebration coming up soon. Of course, Dapper Day is coming up. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see how these different events work out. D23 will be an interesting one, too, for reservations. And just see what the mix will be like. A big change is coming to California soon that could impact your comfort at the Disneyland Resort. Starting February 15th, the indoor mask mandate will be dropped for vaccinated individuals in counties that do not have their own mandates. This includes Orange County, where Disneyland is located. Disneyland has not commented on this change or mentioned if they plan to keep the mandate for guests. With no changes, this would mean that guests who are vaccinated would not need to wear a mask indoors at dining locations, attractions, or anywhere else.
It'll be interesting to see what Disneyland does if they continue to have their rule of having masks indoors or if they're going to relax that and drop that. I could see it going either way. I feel like for a lot of the pandemic, Disney was more cautious on things like the fact that, you know, we had stuff like when they reopened, they could have been at higher capacities, but they were at lower capacities. I feel like they had masking rules in place when masking rules weren't necessarily required by any sort of government. They chose to do so. So it'll be interesting to see if what happens. Hopefully we'll hear something from Disney soon because February 15th is literally just around the corner. So I think we'll find out soon from Disneyland what their decision is going to be. So don't pack those masks away too far yet if you're visiting the park. Still keep them with you. And obviously, you know, if it's more comfortable for you and if you feel safer to do so, nobody's going to tell you that you are not allowed to wear your mask. You can still wear your mask. It's just whether or not Disney's going to require you to do so or not.
So everywhere that I've seen online, I wrote this news story this morning. Everywhere I've seen online this afternoon that has done any thought on this process is pretty certain that Disneyland is going to keep the mask mandate because Florida has not had a mask mandate for over a year now, I want to say, and Disney has kept the mask mandate there. So my guess is Disney will probably keep the mask mandate. However, I do feel in general, it seems like a lot of mandates and stuff are being dropped everywhere.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's only a matter of time before we've gotten to the point where people are just kind of accepting the risk with things like this now and trying to get more back to normal situations, I guess, is what it seems like society seems to be going to. So we'll have to see how things go and what will happen. But I'm pretty sure, like you said, that Disneyland will probably keep the mask situation. I do have a question. I didn't think about this. So for your wedding, I guess most of your stuff's outdoors,
all
so you don't have to worry about masking.
All of our stuff is outdoors, but yes, Disney weddings are required to mask up.
Okay.
So if the reception or if the ceremony was indoors, the rules are, what is it? So if it's for the ceremony, if it's indoors, the couple can be unmasked, but everybody else is masked.
Sure.
And then for the reception, everyone's masked unless eating, obviously.
Sure.
If you have a wedding at Disneyland, you can pay to have, of course, you can pay to have whatever you want, but you can pay to have characters come visit and do, like, maybe Mickey and Minnie are there for your cake cutting, or they're just there for a meet and greet or whatever. You can pay to have different characters come, quote unquote, to your wedding, and they have a specific area that they are in. And with it's basically like a socially distant meet and greet.
That's cool,
so they
though.
you can't even get right next to the characters. But they're very, very, from what I've heard, they're very, very, that's the one time that Disney's like, nope, you're wearing it. Like,
interesting.
They're very, very strict about the character meet and greets.
Interesting.
And masking, which makes sense because now you're introducing a cast member into the
sure.
situation versus your own parties doing their thing.
So your wedding, as you're going from one location to another, if you're going through a building, you do have to wear a mask.
Yeah, we're going to have to remember to bring masks with us to.
Okay.
Because we're going to have to walk through a building.
Sure. You just got to stick it in your dress. You have pockets on your dress.
I do have pockets, yeah. But I feel like I'm going to forget.
A cool, like, lacy.
I have one. My aunt made it.
Oh, that's so cool. See, look at you. You and your aunt already thinking of this stuff.
Yep.
That's cool.
She made masks. I don't know if she's going to bring them or not.
Vern, too?
Yep.
That's cool.
She made masks for everybody, like everyone that's going to be there. And I think she had made multiple masks for all of the guests.
Oh, wow.
Whether or not she's still bringing those or not, that was when everything was going to be last year.
Yeah. So, but still, though, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The Smithsonian National Museum of American History wants your Disneyland photos. The museum is looking for photos that show guests, their friends, and families at Disneyland or Walt Disney World, along with a description of what the photo and visit meant to you, when the visit took place, and with who. The photos and stories will be used in an upcoming exhibit. For information on how to submit your photos and stories, visit the link in our show notes.
So, of course, I feel like thousands of people are going to submit photos. They clearly state that that not everybody will be selected, but they are doing some type of cool exhibit. I'll tell you what, I want to see whatever this exhibit is when it comes out. I'm very intrigued mm-hmm. by the fact that they're going to have all of this stuff, because I feel like, have you been to any of the Smithsonians before?
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
that's
yeah.
right. We visited
a Smithsonian together.
Yeah. Those are super amazing museums. If any of our listeners ever have a chance to go to a Smithsonian museum, they are free. They are paid for by like the Smithsonian Trust or whatever. You can donate when you're there to get in and help support the thing. But I love this idea. This is really, really neat. And I don't know. Are you going to submit a photo?
I think I will. I think I'm going to find one of our weekly tier meetup photos.
Oh.
And submit a weekly tier meetup photo.
That's a good one.
I would fall over and pass out if it was chosen, but I think that'd be cool to submit a weekly tier meetup.
Didn't even think about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's at the resort. Like, the photos would be from the resort. It's not at the park. But I think it's just very meaningful. It's a very meaningful photo for us for weekly tiers.
Yeah.
You know, and just it'd be a really good thing to show, like, the community and the camaraderie of Disney bringing people together. So I think we should look into submitting a weekly tier meetup photo. I think that'd be awesome.
Well, you definitely have to write the story for it. But yeah, we've got, I would do that one. I would do the one that we did at
the most recent one
at the Disneyland Hotel, because that's mm-hmm. like the most, because the other one was just in front of AMC, but the other one's more thematically and has more people in it. So that would be really cool.
I think that'd be super fun.
Yeah.
Psst, avast there.
Sure, you come to the proper place, but keep a weather eye open, mates, and hold on tight. With both hands, if you please. There be squalls ahead, and James and Vern waiting for them what don't answer correctly.
Welcome to Trivia Land on this fine evening. How are we feeling tonight?
Pretty good. We'll see. We did okay last week, so I'm cautiously optimistic.
You're hesitantly confident?
Cautiously optimistic is what I was trying to go
okay,
for.
Okay, all right.
I mean, confused my words.
Yeah, okay, all right. I mean, you pulled a solid 4 out of 5 last week, so So I'm happy for you. I think you're going to be able to do pretty well.
I'll try to pull a 1 out of 5 this week.
You get to flip the script this time?
Maybe. We'll see.
All right. Well, let's see how you do. We're going all listener submitted this time. Not, you know, none of my weird deep dives on you. So we'll see what the listeners did to you today. Your first question from listener Hannah R. When you enter Disneyland, you hear an animal sound as they scan your ticket. What sound is that, and what Disney movie does it come from?
Because it's like, bling, hoo-hoo. What's the hoo-hoo noise?
It's got to be an owl. I'm going to say it's an owl from Sleeping Beauty.
I feel like it's more higher pitched than an owl would be, though. So I feel like it's got to be... What are you asking again, Vern? It's
as you're getting your ticket scanned, as you're entering Disneyland.
Yep.
What sound do you hear, and what movie is it from?
Oh, it's more of a whistle.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like bling, like,
and but it's
magic. It's... Yeah, and then the whistle. I don't know. It's some type of bird from, I don't know, Snow White. I don't know. That'll be my guess. I'm sure I'm wrong.
Are those your final answers?
Well, that's my final answer. I don't know what Teresa's saying. I don't think she said anything yet.
I said owl, but that's because I was listening to your hoo-hoos.
Are we allowed to listen to a sample of the said sound?
You know, I'm really curious to hear what the answer is. I don't actually know what the answer is. But now that this question's being presented, I can picture hearing this sound while watching an animated movie. Okay. I really can, but I don't know. I'm going to stick with Sleeping Beauty, except for an owl. I'll say it's a bird.
So I feel like now, whatever movie this comes from, every time we hear that now, we're just going to be like, oh, somebody entered at Disneyland.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, now I'm super curious about this.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Final answers then.
Final answers.
All right. Your second question from listener Ruben O. In 2005, Madame Leota's seance room received some new additions, among them a new spellbook, the Necronomicon Book of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
What page is it open to?
It's got to be page
13.
It's a pretty thick book. I'm going to do something slightly different than 13. I'm going to say it's page 1313.
Oh. Yeah, I'll just say page 13.
999 would be good.
I mean, that would be a good one. I thought you were going to say something about the fact that, like, I think it was 2005 when she started floating around.
Yep, she started moving around.
Are those your final answers?
Yeah.
Final answers.
You always start going in one direction with the question. My brain's like, oh, I got this. And then you hoof it to the side, and I'm like, dang it.
What movie did you say?
I said Snow White.
Your third question, submitted by listener Keith N. What year did the Dapper Dans debut?
Ooh.
It's not as early as I thought, was it?
Like, no, I feel like it's actually more recent. Like in the history of Disneyland. Dapper Dans.
I'm going to say... because I don't remember seeing them in anything that Walt Disney was in. Like, when they did the 10th anniversary special, I don't remember seeing the Dapper Dans. Although, maybe I'm wrong.
I'm just going to throw out 1975. That's my random guess.
1982. We're probably both wrong. It was probably, like, 1957 or something.
It could be super recent, because I'm trying to think.
It's not that recent, because in the 90s they were there.
Okay, yeah, it may be like...
And I know this is going to come as a shock to you, but the 90s were like 30 years ago.
No,
now.
I know, but like that...
For Disneyland
history, though, the 90s is, you know, that's recent.
Sure.
It could be the 90s.
I don't think it was the 90s. Final answers, Vern.
Those are your final answers?
Yep.
1982 from Tag, and I'm sorry?
75.
1975 from Teresa.
Probably 85.
All right.
Because I'm thinking back, like, have you seen even, like, old-looking pictures of the Dapper Dans?
I remember seeing, like, a video or something of them on, like, a one of those tandem bikes.
Yeah.
But there was like four of them. And I feel like that was old. But I don't know how old.
Yeah. These are fun questions. I like
them. Yeah, it is fun. Like, I don't feel bad about not knowing these. For sure.
And your fourth regular round question from listener Ace. According to the signs posted around town, what is the name of the construction company that is doing all the work in Toontown?
Oh, it's good to. Dang it.
You love this sign. I feel like you should know.
I don't remember, but I'm going to say the Three Little Pigs Construction Company.
I feel like that's right, because I didn't know what it was until you said something, and then I'm like, that sounds right?
I think that's what it is. I remember seeing this and thinking it was very clever.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the Three Little Pigs.
Because they're building a lot of stuff, right? I'm going to piggyback on Teresa and say, I concur.
You're going to piggyback.
I am going to piggyback. And piggy forward, too, and right into your brick house.
All right. And your bonus question. This seemed apropos to ask with the Super Bowl coming up this weekend.
No.
The phrase, I'm going to Disneyland, was an advertising campaign that began in 1986, where sports MVPs uttered the phrase after winning a championship, followed by a visit to either Disneyland or Disney World. Who was the first sports star to visit Disneyland as part of this campaign? And who was the most recent?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, the most recent was, it Tom Brady and his group?
No idea.
Time has put a construct. I don't remember who won the last Super Bowl, but I feel like it was that. Or whoever. Obviously, it's whoever won the last Super Bowl.
I had just read something about this. I'm going to Disneyland thing. I don't remember who the heck it was that said it, though. I remember they, prepped them, though.
I'm just telling you right now, I don't know who the first person was, but I'm going to say Tom Brady for the reason. Are you giving a guess?
I think you're right with Tom Brady on the second.
Okay.
I feel like as soon as you say it, I'm like, oh, yeah, but I really don't know.
49ers? Was it Joe?
I can't give you.
Was it Joe Montana? I'll tell you, I'll just guess Joe Montana since I don't have a name. Because the Niners had five Super Bowl wins by like the early mid 90s, I remember, because it was like a big deal that they got five.
Nope, I don't remember any of that.
Well, you're also a youngin.
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not a sports person. I don't keep up with this.
And I'm a sports person?
More so than I am, apparently, since you know about the 49ers.
I could tell you all about curling in the Olympics right now, because I've been watching that.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
By the way, America is not doing well, at least in the... Double, what is it called, James? The round robin doubles round robin? Mixed doubles.
You made that much more complicated sounding, the round robin. All right. My answer is I don't know. And Tom Brady.
And mine's Joe Montana and Tom Brady.
You might be right with Joe Montana. I don't know
if he was winning Super Bowls that early, but maybe.
And are those your final answers?
Yeah.
It's as good as it gets.
All right. Well, listeners, how did you do listening at home? How do you think Tag and Teresa did? Stick around until after the discussion topic, and we'll all find out together.
So this week, we have a couple guests with us. We have Debbie and Steve from Designer Park Company. They're going to chat with us about a couple things, including how to pack for the parks and also their very fun and exciting new bag that is coming out on the market for us park enthusiasts. So anyways, welcome, Debbie and Steve. We're very excited to have you.
Hi.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for reaching
out to talk about this. We were talking a little bit before we started recording for the podcast about how Teresa and I both like to have bags on us that do different things. And so it looks like you have something that's been designed, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, but kind of designed for a park goer, more than just like most bags out there, which are just general purpose for everyday carrying around whatever you're doing. This is definitely seems very geared for the park. So that'll be very exciting to talk about.
Yeah, we're excited.
Well, we're going to begin with getting to know you both a little bit. Can you please tell us about your Disney story? So basically, what got you interested in Disney, the parks, the company, the movies, all that good stuff?
My mom grew up in Southern California. And as she was growing up, she actually witnessed Disneyland being built.
Ooh,
how cool.
And watched the castle from the freeway where they could, well, not the freeway, there wasn't one at that time, but watch the castle be built. And she has told us many times that she thought that the castle was being built for her.
That's adorable.
She was very excited with the idea of having a park that she could go to with the family. And my parents did that. They went to the parks. They took us as kids. My dad actually has vintage film, you know, like 8mm film that shows Disneyland fireworks in 1964, the year they were married. Wow. You know, 9 years into the park's opening. So it's really fun to watch those old videos and to see things that they grew up seeing and how the park has changed since then. So that love has been shared with me and my family, and we just have fallen in love with Disney, wow. The parks especially.
That's amazing. That's really, really cool. What precious like memories that they have, but then like what priceless like stuff that they have too. Like the fact that they have fireworks from the year that they were married in 1964 on film. Like that. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. That's really cool.
They were
cool.
Day fireworks, but they're still very fun.
Yeah, but still, wow. Very cool.
Fireworks are fireworks, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're magical at Disney. It was such a special place for their family. And they even have a brick outside, like you do, Tig, for the family for one of the trips they took, I think in 2001 or something like that, right, Steve?
2001.
Wow. Yeah, so we both grew up going to the parks. Steve went a lot more than I did. I was the oldest of five kids. He was the youngest of five kids. So my parents were more strapped when I was growing up than his parents were. So he just went on more trips. He's the youngest. But I had such a love for Disneyland. I used to keep a map in my bedside table and I'd pull it out all the time. And I'd look at it and I'd just like remember all the rides I'd gone on. And it was just kind of something I was really, really into. And then we started dating and we were dating for about 2 weeks and he found out that I hadn't been to California Adventure yet. And so he said, "What? You've never been there?" And I was like, "No, I was there when they were building it. And it was, I could see Grizzly Peak coming up, but I didn't know I hadn't been inside." And he's like, "We have to go. We have to take you." So he's like, "Tomorrow we're going to Disneyland." And we decided to just drive and go the very next day to Disneyland. And we even talked one of the ticket people into giving us a ticket that allowed us to, it was like a park hopper. They had a thing where you could get a ticket for two different parks, but they let us use them in the same day. Mm. It was like they didn't have a park hopper option at the time, or it was so weird. They stamped it and they let us go to both parks in the same day. And we did Disney or California Adventure, and I got to ride the, you know, California Screaming and do all that stuff. And then I saw Fantasmic for the first time with him, and it was like, life-changing. So
she married me because of it.
I was gonna say, and that's when she's like, "And this is the man I am marrying."
Man of my dreams. No, he got me like a little promise ring at the gift shop and he gave it to me at the castle, and he was like, "You know, will you be my girlfriend?" Basically. And I was like, we fell in love at mm-hmm. on that trip. And Fantasmic is really special to us because of that also. But yeah, and then we went at the 50th, which was amazing. Everyone just kind of got a new love for Disneyland during the 50th, right? It was just like monumentous. So we went there for the 50th, and then we decided to turn our tickets into an annual pass. And we were like, now we got to go all the time. And we did. And we saw the 50th fireworks show, and that was just like the best thing we'd ever seen.
The 50th fireworks show is the best fireworks show Disney's ever done.
I will fight them in the streets. I did at Disney World watching their fireworks show. I was like, really? This is what you got?
Well,
I was telling people.
I mean, I went to Disney World in like 2016, I think. And their fireworks show, I was like, people love Disney World, but what is this?
I know.
Like, okay, so they have a projection show before the fireworks, and then they have fireworks. Why would they not combine them like in California? And it was still, when I was there, it was still Wishes, which everybody loved in Disney mm-hmm. World. And then when they came out with the one, it was only there for
After?
Happily Ever After. Uh-huh. That was an amazing show. And then they replaced it with what they have now.
Enchantment.
For the yeah. Which we talked to Evan, who worked on that show. Mm-hmm. But people in general just aren't as fond of that one, I guess. So,
no, I stood there and I was
like, okay, we liked it, but we weren't.
Yeah,
that's how we feel about Disney World.
Yeah. In general, we compared every ride to Disneyland. We're like, well, this version is better at Disneyland, but
it's kind of like an alternate universe, though, because you're like, this is haunted, but it's not haunted.
Yeah, it's and not this the is, same.
Yeah, this is Big Thunder, but it's not quite big. Like, it's yeah. weird.
Yeah.
It is.
It's like you're in a dream and you're not remembering it correctly.
Yeah.
It's just a little wrong, just a little bit. But the fireworks show, I was turning around and talking to strangers as you do at Disneyland, mm-hmm. you know? And I was telling this older couple, I'm like, if you want to see a good fireworks show, you go to YouTube and you look up Disneyland's 50th and you will see a better fireworks show.
Remember dreams come true.
Yes. Yep. I was like, we had Julie Andrews, okay? It's just like, we had the correct one. So yeah, we basically became APs around the 50th and we kind of started renewing that and getting a lot of annual passes. But there were a few years here and there where we wouldn't get an annual pass. We'd just go one time, you know, if I was pregnant or I don't know. So, but pretty much every year we've gone since, and we've been married 16 years. So we've gone all the time. And we actually got a stone for our family for our anniversary, like it says our wedding date in front of one of those bricks.
Which we were married in 2005, which is the 50th anniversary of Disneyland.
We have the 50th medallion on it.
Oh.
And we like to check on it. Yeah.
I wish that they still sold those because I think Teresa and Vern, I think, would have one. Mm-hmm. But yes, I think we would get like a podcast one. Like, that would be so cool.
That would be so awesome.
We should
and
just,
if they
like,
could put a QR code on there that they could scan it and find your podcast,
there you
like
go.
Something that would be cool. Really, really, you know.
But I'm worried because I don't think this will happen at Disneyland, but at Disney World, they had the same type of bricks and they took them out recently.
I know.
Mm-hmm. So I'm uh-oh.
Well, there is kind of a lot of wear on some of those bricks at Disneyland.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling that there will be riots in the streets if they take the bricks out, because I think so many people, I visit them, like when I go there, I visit my brick every time.
Yep.
So they'd have to do something different. They'd have to move them somewhere or refurbish them or something. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they offer the ones that are falling apart, maybe they offer like, hey, we have your contact information. Do you want to pay and we'll replace it or whatever?
Yeah.
I'd replace it.
Me
at
too.
The time, I thought my husband was insane to want to buy this thing. And then also we have like the replica. Like acrylic one that
somewhere.
Maybe I took it home.
We have like a wooden one, a replica for his family one. And then we have an acrylic one for ours. And I was like, you're really going to spend this much money on a piece of whatever on the ground. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, whatever. But it's so cool to have that now years later that nobody can have it. And I was like, okay, I'm glad we did it.
I'm glad you came around.
It was a good investment after all.
It was. I think that's our story. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
When I just feel like we could talk on that thing forever. I have so much I want to say about the fireworks, but I'm going to move on.
I know. I have to restrain myself. So
we all do. We all have to restrain ourselves.
I'm just saying e-tickets in the sky, man.
Oh,
that was like, look
I
it
want
up.
To see it again so bad.
Look it up online.
I would drive there.
There is a video somewhere of Steve Davidson demonstrating that fireworks show like to a group of people. He's like red and green and whatever and whatever, and he's like moving around the stage, and this was before I think he got gastric bypass. He was a bigger guy, and so it's this big sweaty guy enthusiastically doing all of this. And then I saw him on a special or something recently, and he's like super, like I knew the name. I was like, that's Steve Davis. Anyway, when you go to Disneyland on the first day of a visit, which way do you go? Do you go left towards Adventureland? Do you go through the castle towards Fantasyland? Right towards Tomorrowland? What's the plan?
Steve, what do you think? You want to
so
say?
So we go we at the tunnel. We actually head right through the tunnel and then walk down Main Street, and we head left because we feel there's more to do and see left than there is right.
I would agree.
And he grew up skipping all the Fantasyland rides because he's the youngest and his siblings didn't want to do any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So we kind of like do Peter Pan and a few things, but he's gotten to appreciate all the Fantasyland rides since having children. And yeah. I force him. I'm like, we are going on Alice. Like, and he doesn't have a problem with it, but it's not like something he would have thought to do as a child because his siblings were older and they, you know, told him what to do. So
I didn't remember ever going to Fantasyland.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
I think he probably did, but I didn't remember any of that. I mean, when we went, it was, I believe it's 1989 was the year that Splash Mountain opened. And that's one of my first visits that I remember going to was standing in line for Splash Mountain for 3 hours. You know, that's what you did at that time. And, you know, the big monumental things that happened, 92, we saw Fantasmic when it debuted. I went with my dad and he took us and we sat and watched Fantasmic and I was blown away, just completely blown away at what Disney was. I thought it was a channel and there was some rides, but watching that just changed everything about my love of Disneyland.
Wow.
Our exchange student thought Disneyland was a museum.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Casper was like, I thought it was a museum.
Because
I told him, I said, you're going to go for D23, which is this expo thing, and then you're going to go to Disneyland. It's my favorite place in the whole world. But don't look it up. I want you to just be surprised. And he thought it was, and then he went and he was just like, we went on Indy, like, the first thing, and I have a video of him. And I'm like, what do you think, Casper? And he's like, awesome. The best. And I was just like,
I love seeing people see it for the first time. I'm just like, what are they going to think? I just can't. I'm just like, they're going to love it. Yeah.
It's hard to like explain to someone because right now with wedding planning, I have a lot of guests that are coming out for our Disney wedding that haven't been to Disneyland. So like, I don't know. What do I need? Like one day? I'm like, no. You need more. I don't care if you don't think you do, you know, thrill rides. These are not the same thing, you know. So it's just, it's really fun to kind of see how people, like what people's expectations are versus then when they're there and in it. Then, you know, watching the like light bulb, like, oh, okay, I get it now. You know, before it's like, oh, I don't know. Sure, we'll do.
Well, people
we'll
think
do. We'll just go because it's there, and then we can say we did it.
Well, people think it's like an amusement park. Like they're gonna go ride a roller coaster.
They're comparing it to Magic Mountain or anything else they've gone to, like Great America or something. Yeah. Well, which was used to be
different.
But, so we have a brother-in-law who's never been, and so it's our goal to like go with him so we can tell him how to do it right. So we can show him the correct way to do Disneyland. We just have to make sure that he has a good time. And we had a friend go to Disneyland with his kids, and he literally went in and did Buzz Lightyear and went to a gift shop and did Buzz Lightyear one more time. Or what did he do? Pinocchio or something, Steve? He did one other ride and then they left. And I was like,
they went in the heat of summer with the crowds out of control. And that's his experience.
On a Saturday, right?
Yeah.
We were like, what are you thinking?
For one afternoon. And it was
one
just
afternoon.
Not,
Well, that's just a waste of money to go and do two things and leave. It's like,
they were overwhelmed by the crowd.
Oh, you know? I mean, I hear that.
I had a coworker and he could not understand why I like Disney so much. He's like, I hate people. Why would I want to be in a place with so many people? And it's hot. And I'm like, I don't know.
They probably don't
kids,
want him there
they could
anyway.
Only go in the summer.
I don't want you there then. Yeah. I don't want you to go then.
You still see people in the park like that, though. Anyway.
Yep, for sure.
So, speaking of the park, what are your favorite attractions? And even
this is a hard one.
Disneyland. It can be any Disney park attraction.
Well, it's got to be Disneyland because that's just our place. That's our that's our jam. But for me, if it's a ride I need to go on over and over and over again, it's going to be Thunder Mountain Railroad for me. Mm. One time we went when I was a kid, and this was back when the giant parking lot, you know, was the Disneyland entrance was the giant parking lot. And I remember, I think I was 10 or something. And my mom, we had left the park and you had to get your hand stamped, even though there was one park. And my mom didn't get her hand stamped. And we were sitting in the hot tub at our hotel and somebody told us there was a private event at Disneyland that night. And we were like, what does that mean? And they were like, I bet you can get back in. And so we decided to do that. We went back to the park, went in through the gate, and we stayed for hours after it was closed. And just, we were Thunder Mountain Railroad over and over and over again. Yeah, it was empty. And it was the best thing I've ever done in my at Disneyland. But
And so, we've carried on that tradition with our kids. Like towards the end of our night at Disneyland, we will hit Thunder Mountain over and over and over and over again because it's just so fun to do in the nighttime. Mm-hmm. It's a great nighttime ride. And it's very fun to just slide around in that car, you know, hit each other. And it's just, it's a classic.
So where's your favorite place to sit on the train? Do you like the front, the middle, or the back?
It's the back row. For sure. Wait for it. Wait for the back row. But our kids were little, we were like, front row's okay because it gets them used to the ride and they feel like they did something, even though it's a lot less challenging. So it's good for younger kids to kind of head towards the front. But we call it slitting. So you're like sliding into people. And So it's pretty fun. But our other favorite ride, Steve.
My favorite ride is the Haunted Mansion. I find that the mansion just an incredible 50-year-old amazing attraction. It just wows me every time I ride it. It's an experience being in that ride.
And our son can verbatim read you in the entire ride. He knows it all. He's memorized it.
That's awesome. Those are some crazy words too. So that's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm.
Well, we have pumpkins we put out at Halloween time that sing the Haunted Mansion. They've got faces and they move and they sing like the whole thing. And then I made hitchhiking ghosts that are huge and we put black lights on them. And and then we have Jack Skellington and Sally, like life-size animatronics that we put out. And so it's all Haunted Mansion for us.
That's awesome.
At Halloween.
That's cool.
I need to up my Halloween decorating.
You know, I'm surprised that you and Vern, with all the pumpkins you do, haven't done like a little projector with like some faces on a couple of the pumpkins.
That's techie. We're not very techie.
No, you just download it. There's a company you can buy it from.
That's all so I have easy. To do.
There you go.
It's really easy. If we can do it, you can do it, Teresa. I promise.
One of the things that we're here to talk about is packing. Now, I know that Teresa and I have different methods of packing and how we carry stuff to and from and everything. You've got your little caddy thing that you sometimes, because you have ears and stuff you're trying to bring and not damage.
That I pack.
And I have all my technology that I bring and I pack in and everything. So what are some packing tips you can give to our listeners?
Yeah. And our packing's a little different because we travel with kids too. So we've got some things that you guys probably would never need to bring.
Oh, but we need snacks too. That's okay.
It's true. We all get hangry, and being hangry at Disney is not fun, especially if you're going to get like a headache. And it seems like that happens sometimes. But so for packing for the parks, we put together kind of a list. We were thinking of all the different things because we knew we'd get to this and go, what do we take anyway? It's been a few months. The first thing we put on our list was like a poncho or a rain jacket. So I don't know if you guys, we don't normally at Disneyland cover up for Splash Mountain or anything.
No.
We just let it ride like we're there for fun.
That's the weak people that do that.
It's true. And I've ridden it one time like that. And it was lovely to not be soaking wet, but I'm not carrying around a wet poncho all day.
Yeah.
And so that's just not what I'm about. But we put in parentheses like for Disney World. So if you're going to go to Disney World, bring a poncho because it might rain on you at any time and it will rain.
Downpours.
It will just rain out of nowhere. Every day of the summer, it will rain on you at some point. So just have that with you in case. Mm-hmm. So,
And right now you probably need snow pants because apparently it's freezing down there.
You need like those hand warmer things.
Really?
It was freezing. It was like 30 degrees or something.
Wow.
Yeah. So, it's crazy.
Well, it's snowing in Texas. My sister-in-law, they have snow and ice on their roads.
Really?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Dang.
A big snowstorm went through.
Yeah. So crazy. So another thing we bring is like a tablecloth from the dollar store, one that you could just throw away.
Mm.
I know that sounds crazy, but if you're going to sit and wait for a parade, you just put that down on the ground. It marks your spot so other people can't take over your area. And it gives you a bigger area to like sit.
Sure,
and a lot of times my husband, he'll wait at our area we'll put all our bags like on the four corners of that big tablecloth. And then he'll sit there and wait. And then people don't really try to steal his space when it's marked clearly with a bright red tablecloth or whatever. And then when you're done and it's kind of small, they're pretty little at the dollar store, and you just chuck it. You're like, bye. And you just throw it in the trash. And so that's what we do. If we're going to make sure we're getting a parade in.
I have a second use for your tablecloth.
Okay. Okay.
You can use it. You can fold it up and you can use it and you can put it on top of the trash cans when you're using that to like eat a snack. How many have eaten like food off of the top of the trash, like used it as their table?
What if you dropped your macaron? What? Right?
Yeah.
What if you dropped it? Then you could be maybe. Yeah.
That is how
5 second rule.
I mean, I would never
drop my
macaron.
That's how clean the trash cans are at Disneyland. That everybody's okay with like putting their food on top of it and not being weirded out.
Well, the trash goes in the can.
I know,
it doesn't
but they're
go on top
still
the
they're so clean. There's not like sticky residue from soda exploding.
Sure.
Or anything.
That's a good.
I like this idea though because I feel like, and this happened to us when we watched the Christmas Fantasy Parade when we were there in December, was we kind of were standing and we had a good spot and people just kept coming in. And then this one lady, I think we told this on the podcast, but there was a lady who
I remember
like
this.
Came up and like pushed this other like this other group like left. And then she was yelling Anastasia.
Anastasia.
But I can see how if you're going to be sitting like on the curb or something that would be very helpful, or even
find
like
your area.
Even if you're sitting and waiting for Fantasmic or something,
or
when that
paint
comes back.
The night. You know.
Well, let's not let's.
I know. Let's not bring up hard, horrible things, right? We did ditch Steve and make him wait for Paint the Night while we went on Small World. And my son got off the ride and was asking the people that were running the ride how they run all the animatronics. He was like, how do they do this? He called them electricals. He goes, how do the electricals work? And I was like, get over here. Come back. He's very fascinated with how everything
works. That's cool,
works.
Though. That's really cool.
Sounds like my type of kid.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
we have to stop for a second and say that our kids are obsessed with your podcast.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They love everything about your podcast. And we told them that we'd try to get a shout out for them.
Oh, for sure. For sure. What are their names?
It's Bennett and Alice. They love you both.
And it is Alice, like Alice in Wonderland.
That's adorable. Bennett and Alice, we are so excited that you guys are both official weekly tiers, and we're so happy to have your mom and dad on to talk with us tonight. So thank you for letting us borrow them so they could chat with us about packing and about their cool new bag.
He'll love that.
He'll die. Yeah.
Well, then whenever we meet in the park, he can ask us a billion questions about how we do the podcast.
He will.
We will be there for D23. Are you guys going to D23?
Yes.
We are.
Yes. Oh, awesome.
So maybe we'll run into you there.
We haven't decided. For sure, we're doing the 3 days. I'm sure we're doing park days, but we haven't figured out that part yet. But yeah,
we're just doing two because we could only get the Friday and Sunday tickets. They didn't have any Saturday ones left.
We have a Disney Visa card, so we were able to get in and get the early buying for that.
We forgot about that. The next day, we were like, oh, dang it.
You know what? you could have any Visa card. It didn't even have to be a Disney Visa card, which was kind of cool.
Yeah,
we were kind of debating even going until the day they went on sale, and then it was too late, and so we should have just done it. But so next on our list, I wrote down Moleskine and an extra pair of socks. Do you guys have you guys ever used Moleskine?
Used Moleskine actually the last time. No, when we were there for Oogie Boogie Bash.
What is it?
It's this stuff. It's for blisters.
You love that stuff.
So I built myself a whole blister pack because
you have to cut it beforehand because it comes in a big sheet. So I like to cut it in all different sizes, and it comes in like a thicker one and a thinner one, so you can kind of put it in different places.
Yeah,
but my kids always need it.
Teresa was amazed because she was like, "This is amazing! I put this on our first day, and it lasted like the whole week.
It was
shower and everything,
like blister Band-Aid, and it was amazing."
Oh yeah, you used those in Disney World, right, Steve? Mm-hmm.
I did.
He got like 7 blisters in one day at the beginning of our trip. And we were on a 9-day theme park trip. So we did 4 Universal, 5 Disney World. And we were like, basically like status or something.
Yeah. Moleskine / blister Band-Aids or something are critical.
Oh yeah.
Are crucial for you to pack with you into the park.
You kind of have to take a Disney trip and think, I'm going camping without a tent. Like I'm going on a hike. Because you're going to walk as much as if you took a hike into the wilderness, and you're going to stand as much. So you have to think of your feet and your back and like your hydration and all those things like you're traveling like a hiker. But then you're also dressed like an Instagrammer, you know, right? Like you want to look cute, but you also need to like walk and walk and walk. So a lot of our things are very like hike related.
No, that makes total sense.
I don't need to dress like an Instagram.
He doesn't. But I mean, you want to look appropriate. But yeah, so
you want to have fun. You want to have your Disney like stuff. Swag, merch, whatever. You gotta represent. Yep. Yeah. So you wear silly things.
Show your Disney side, right? Isn't that the marketing?
There you go.
So also we found these like fans on Amazon. I'm sure you guys have seen those. They're like rechargeable fans. They're not super big. And
very powerful.
They're really powerful and they go in three settings. And we found they were super helpful, especially during COVID when you're like breathing your own hot air. Sometimes you just need some breeze. And so you just pull that mask away and you just blow that fan down in there.
Your own little air conditioning.
Yeah. So they're tiny. I should grab it. I've got one over there. But
last time I was there, I saw all these people with these ones that went around like their neck and they had the two.
Those don't
fans.
Do anything. Don't bother with that. That's garbage. We've tried those.
And it's just sweaty around your neck.
Yeah.
Just something touching your neck is not the most comfortable thing.
What you do is you get the cooling towel and you put that on your neck. So that's the next thing. Have you seen those ones that you get wet?
Yes.
When we went to Disney World, James used that and it worked really well for him.
Yeah.
So we do the cooling towel and the fan and that pretty much covers that heat stuff.
We recommend bringing a carabiner and attaching it to your bag so that you can attach your popcorn bucket to your bag. And with that, we also suggest buying a popcorn bucket on your first day in the park and using it throughout your trip with refills that are much cheaper than buying $2. Popcorn over and over and over again. So that we really feel that is a really critical part of having fun in the park is staying hydrated and eating.
All the time.
Making sure that you're staying hydrated and that you're allowing yourself not to get too hungry. Because then you get hangry.
Hydrated,
and then you're stuck in a very, very long line to get food.
Yeah.
Yes.
And hydrated, I think, is really important. Teresa and I think are constantly reminding each other to drink because we get so excited and you're so... I think it's the same thing with walking, right? We forget how much we're walking and standing because we're distracted by so many things because it's Disneyland. And you forget things like food and water. For me, though, there's always such good food around, like I see food, but drinks, I forget about drinks all the time. And I know in Disney World, not so much Disneyland. I mean, you could when it's really hot there, but Florida's always really hot, it seems like. So what we would do when we went is we would put bottles of water in the freezer overnight, and then we'd put the frozen bottles in our bag. And then as they thawed through the day, you'd have cold water like the whole day. It worked beautifully.
Well, we will be able to talk about that in just a little bit with our hydration bag.
Yay!
We're all about hydration here.
That's good.
It's very important and people forget. And California is kind of easier to forget, I think, because you don't realize like when you're sweating because it's evaporating right away. Whereas the Midwest, exactly when you've started
Florida,
sweating.
Or Florida, where you're just wet the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If you're not hydrated, it makes for one... I think that probably is part of the reason that people have a desire never to go back to Disney. Disney parks again, is because they didn't have a good time because they didn't stay hydrated.
Mm-hmm. You're supposed to drink enough water so that you go to the bathroom every 6 hours. And I don't think that's the case all the time. Like they say, a doctor told me that, like, unless you're doing that, then you're dehydrated. So, pretty important. And then the other thing we had on our list was like plastic bags in all sorts of sizes, the Ziploc bags. So do you guys bring those in your bags when you travel to put your snacks in?
I do for masks. So I have like a clean mask bag and a dirty mask bag when I travel. Now that's new. That wasn't a thing a couple years ago.
We hope it goes away someday.
Yes. But not just for snacks, because usually we do prepackaged snacks already.
Okay. I'm thinking like you buy a cookie or something and it's too big and you don't finish it all yet, but you don't want to throw it away because it was like $8 or something.
Right.
So you can take that giant gingerbread cookie or whatever it is and put it in a Ziploc bag. And especially for our kids, they don't finish their stuff ever.
Yeah.
So we're like, here's a bag, put it away.
Or you can just eat the whole thing.
I think that's our problem is that it's because Teresa won't order a lot.
No.
So usually, like, between the two of us, we could share things and, like, food goes away. Or we go with, like, producer Vern, who has, like, a bottomless stomach that can eat his whole meal and Teresa's whole meal and my whole meal if we didn't finish it.
yeah. Still no be need fine. For plastic bags.
From all the running, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he brings snacks too. He brings bars and he brings bags full of stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. Remember, Steve, that one time Alice tipped over her head at the toilet and her ears fell right into the toilet the first, right when we got to the park the first time?
Oh,
and my friend had all these Ziplocs.
It was clean toilet. It was clean toilet.
Yeah. Well, it was a Disney toilet. But we were like, what do we do with these ears that have toilet juice water on them? Like, what do you do? So my friend had a gallon sized bag and we put them in that. And we're like, we'll wash them later. But if we didn't have that Ziploc, I don't want to throw her ears away. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
That brings me a question. How do you wash ears?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. What did I do? I soaked them and like put soap on them and stuff and rinsed them and just let them air dry. They were the ones that are pink. Tracy, you probably know. And they're like sequins, the whole ears or the bow. Yeah. The whole ear is sequins and it has like a bow. It's their pink sequins, hot pink or something. I don't know. But yeah, no, those aren't them.
I realize
Steve's got all the props next to him.
She had a prop too. She showed up.
I brought
that bag.
Yeah.
So in regards
I was doing
to,
a live before I got on with you guys, I was doing a live
there you go.
On Instagram. But yeah.
In regards to Ziplocs, we also, one thing that we didn't put on the list here, but we do bring into the park with us is a medicine cabinet, basically. Mm. You know, you put your Advils and your Tylenol and anything that you would need. That's very important because when you buy it in the park, it's pretty expensive.
Yes.
And they don't always have everything that you're looking for, including things for stomach aches, anything that you might need. Very important that you're bringing all of those things into the park with you.
You can get like ibuprofen from the first aid center.
Day.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But not the child care center. I'm telling you, we went to some cast members like, go to the child care center. My daughter had a cut and she needed a Band-Aid and they were like, you can buy it in the vending machine for $5.99. It was like one Band-Aid. I was like, what? So I left, said, no, thank you.
You're like, yeah. I can get a lot of Band-Aids for $5.99.
Yeah,
thank
it was
you.
Some ridiculous price. And I was like, no, no, no.
another thing that I make sure now that we've been doing more of the food festivals to agonize, I bring Tums because you just never know if something's going to be a little bit too spicy or, you know, whatever. So we bring Tums just in case.
Didn't I use one? I think I used one.
You did.
I was like, I always make fun of you for being prepared.
Why are you bringing
but
all these things? Can I have one now?
Yeah.
Yes. Always they do. We also bring Pepto-Bismol tablets. One time our son made himself sick because he was so scared to go on Pirates of the Caribbean that he threw up in line and it was like lemonade. It was like that anxious. He wasn't sick.
Yeah.
And all these people were walking onto the ride and pulling out things from their bags. And it was like, here's some Pepto. Here's a bottle of water. And they were just giving us stuff as people left. And I'm like, Disneyland's the greatest place on earth.
Did he conquer his fear and go on the ride?
Eventually. Oh, yeah. He psychs himself out on a lot of stuff. Yeah. But yeah, so those Pepto tablets are great too for like settling a stomach that's not great. So, another thing we bring is a phone charger. You're going to need that. And a fast phone charger. So not like the regular ones. It has to be a fast charge because it'll take like 8 hours to charge your phone otherwise. So, and it will die because all we do is use our phones nowadays, it seems like.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
So, and with Genie and stuff now,
Yeah. That's a big problem in the park because everyone's on their phone so much. Mm-hmm. You don't get to look out and see the park. And we've noticed a huge change in how we experience the park even as people that have gone for years versus how it used to be. So I've got kind of a love-hate relationship with that, but it's definitely important to make sure you have your charger with you to juice up.
To mobile order. Really, that's what it's for. So, definitely need a phone charger. And then we also like to bring a tiny umbrella, like a little tiny one. So if it's going to rain, that's great. But also they have these umbrellas with like a UV protection inside of them. So if you're going to stand in a line that's got direct sun, I pull out my umbrella and I swear I used it everywhere at Disney World and I didn't get sunburned and I wore zero sunscreen.
And I
was like, all right, I'm Thunder Mountain Railroad. This line's hot. Umbrella.
I will tell you, there was times where I was in queues that was beating down. And if I could have just had some shade, it would have made such a difference. So that's smart.
You shade and then you fan and you got the cooling towel and you're like, suckers. Everyone's
but the key, and you said it, is a small umbrella because you don't want to be hitting people in line with your umbrella.
Having to worry about like messing with like the giant umbrella.
The size of a water bottle, like, or like one of those ones. It's just a tiny umbrella. And it's so great.
Enough to cover your head.
Yep, totally. And then, Steve, do you want to talk about some more of those things?
So wet wipes, just the simple little packets, along with the Tide to Go pen. Those two things are pretty critical to ensure that you're enjoying yourself and not stressing too much about a stain that you think might set in, or you know, hands that are sticky. Just the basic essentials that are needed for kids and even adults.
Well, and to clean off the table you're sitting at, you go to like the Galactic Grill and it's dirty and you just wipe it down really quick.
Exactly. I've had it too, where there's like something like in an attraction vehicle or something that might like be like, oh, this is kind of, there must have been a child that was just enjoying their, I don't know, cotton candy or something that was in this vehicle. So I just kind of quick wipe it down.
Well, even adults get cotton candy.
Yes, that too. That too. That's true. I shouldn't judge the age.
I think Steve is talking from experience.
Churro sugar and all those things.
I would prefer the churro sugar over.
Well, you can get a popcorn bucket with cotton candy instead of popcorn sometimes, so we've done that. Anyway, so
cotton candy to go, I like it.
Also, we talked about hydration already. There's this stuff that I like to add to my water sometimes. It's called Liquid IV, and it's like, it makes your body more hydrated. It helps hydrate you more, so it somehow does something to your cells, and it kind of tastes like a Crystal Light or something like that. It comes in a lot of different flavors. And so I get really prone to like heat stroke and getting like a bad headache if I'm dehydrated. So sometimes if I feel one coming on, I'll add that to my water, and it really helps me like get past it. Because you pay so much money to go there, you really don't want to feel at all any unpleasantness. So,
Sunscreen and chapstick, obviously basics, you know, things that are hopefully everyone's packing with them, because that's very critical to another successful day. And one of the things that we have grown to love is pins. Pins for trading, pins to wear. We have learned to love that and to express yourself with pins. It's a fun thing to do. And so make sure you're bringing your pins with you so you can enjoy some fun in the park with that.
Pin trading is addicting. It is so fun. It is.
You got really into the trading. I like them because they're a fairly inexpensive souvenir.
Yep.
They can you can buy multiple and they can fit in your bag if you're traveling. So it's not like some other large thing. And then when you get home, they're easy to store, because like you have like a cool little display in your room, and I've got like a board next in my bedroom. And you know, other than like, we come back with other stuff, like there's, you know, popcorn buckets and stuff, and that stuff is big. You can buy a few of those and you have a whole shelf full. Then you're like, what? Why do I have so much clutter? I love it all and I don't want to get rid of any of it, but I don't have any more room.
The pins are so fun because it commemorates your trip and a specific activity that may have happened on your trip.
That's
true. It's like it's like a snapshot of your trip, it is a snapshot of your life.
Of what you've done. And that could be said for most all Disney souvenirs, but the pins are fun. I'm personally not a trader. I just like to collect the pins.
We do have a bag of, we give the kid, like we have a bag full of ones that we just are for trading. Like they were mystery pins and we've got, you know, extras up, but mostly we just buy them.
See, I used to be just a buyer for my own personal collection, but then I started getting into,
you got the bug.
Yeah. I got into some series that you can't just buy. So now it's fun. It's kind of like a treasure hunt to go to the different pin things. Plus it's fun to go like strike up conversation with the cast member that's manning the pin trading thing. And sometimes I do really super well and get stuff that otherwise I wouldn't have gotten. So
I will say that I approve of this and I have fun with it too, because we used to spend a lot of time in the morning with coffee, and now they have the cold brews. Yeah. So now a lot of time that Teresa spends, like that's not like we doing something, it's more of her doing something, is the pin trading. But I like it because I will also sit and stare at pins and stuff, and it allows me to like browse the shop or something when she's looking at the pins or whatever. So it's a good thing, and I like seeing what she gets sometimes, because sometimes I don't understand what she gets, and she's like, I saw this online, and did you see it's got this thing and blah blah, and then I'm like, oh, that's really cool, actually. But then, like, I don't have to do it. I don't know. Yeah. I only buy pins that I want, and me like too. I don't want to trade it.
Me too.
No, that's why you buy. That's why you buy like the trader ones.
Take we're like the same on that.
Same.
Yeah.
I'm selfish.
See, I.
But
what
you get the
I
other ones,
doing,
but I don't like the trader ones.
That's why I get them. So then I can just, I don't have to, it's fine that they're going away because I don't like them.
Yeah.
I buy ones that I specifically don't like.
Okay.
So that I don't have an attachment to them. So I can
trade
them.
I have a hard time spending money on something that I don't like, even though I know I'm going to like trade it for something else. It's just my brain.
That's why you get them from Pinderella, who sells them for like $2
a piece.
I'm
not on Facebook anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And Steve would have like an order come from Shop Disney. And he's like, I didn't order anything. I'm like, yeah, you did. And then a bunch of pins. So it's a problem when you have two Shop Disney orders in a week and you can't remember placing them.
Well, the last one was because I had COVID and I plead COVID on that one.
Yeah.
I was having COVID sweats and I was on Shop Disney.
Exactly what happened.
Yeah, the COVID made me do it.
That's awesome.
So,
that's so great.
One of the things that we also collect is pennies. Make sure you have Smash pennies. A lot of machines are moving to penny or coin-free machines that have the penny already placed in there. And so they're nice and shiny. But always make sure, just in case you find one that's not there, that you're bringing really nice pennies with you and some change.
And make nickels sure and quarters too. Sometimes they're like those silver ones. So you got to have those options as well.
What I noticed is that Disney World didn't seem to have anything other than pennies, but Disneyland definitely has a lot of quarter machines.
Mm-hmm. There were so some really cool Star Wars ones. Yeah.
And Haunted Mansion ones and things like
that. Mm-hmm.
That's why it's good that Teresa works at a financial institution, because she can get all look for the shiny things
get
and
the shiny ones,
she gets enough change that she can go out and do all that.
Yeah,
Steve also works for a financial institution.
So I can relate to that.
You've got the hookup for the shiny pennies.
Yeah. Well,
I've got plenty to last us for quite a long time.
You're like, oh, there's a whole box of brand new ones? Sure, I'll buy that. It's $25. It's fine.
Yeah. And you store them. Steve stores them in his quarters in like an old medicine bottle. So it's perfectly all together.
That's a great way to carry that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Little medicine bottles are perfect because they fit in your bags. You don't have to scrounge around in bags or anything like that.
They screw closed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
That's what we found.
That size almost carries an exact almost $10, a roll of quarters.
Quarters.
Mm-hmm. So it's a perfect size.
Because weren't you carrying yours just like in a Ziploc?
Yeah.
I had a tiny Tupperware thing.
Oh.
An itty bitty tiny Tupperware thing that I was putting the pennies in. The quarters, I don't remember where I was putting the quarters. I think I just had a
You haven't been on that kick though the last couple times.
They haven't. I have them all already. They haven't changed.
Me too.
Them.
Us also.
I get excited. I run over. I'm like, oh. But
Teresa, Steve has a website you can look at. It will tell you all
do?
Of them. Yeah.
What is the website? Well, we've got lots of.
It's an app.
It's an app.
Oh, even
okay.
better.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I can
and
look
you can
at
actually
it.
You can actually check off when you get the items, so you know what you need.
I know what Teresa's downloading.
Changer.
So there's one for Disneyland and Disney World. It's called Pressed Coins at Disneyland, and Pressed Coins at Walt Disney World. I'm giving them free advertisement right now because it's pretty cool. You can track everything. It breaks it down by land. It gives images of what the pennies look like and the coins.
So do you like how we're both like phones?
Yeah.
We have to look at this now.
They haven't updated it for a while because of COVID, I think.
Sure.
But
it's a great app.
Hopefully they continue updating it.
Steve, what do you do once the pennies and coins are pressed? Do you have a special way that you store them after they've been pressed?
We actually buy the kit, the little books that Disneyland has. We have
or Disney World.
8 books, something like that.
Some of them are children's. They got into it at Disney World recently, and they filled 1.5 books in our last trip.
Wow.
There's so many for the 50th. It is ridiculous.
I believe
still way cheaper than a lot of souvenirs, though.
Oh,
yeah, it's true. It really is. Yeah. We spent way too much money at Disney World.
It's fun to make them. It's fun to keep them as little mementos.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like that you have to crank. Like, it's like you're making them. Like, some of the ones you have to crank.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. It's fun because you're going, and it's like, oh, there's the penny.
or the
and if you don't hit it exactly right, sometimes they come out a little wonky. Kind of, but that's kind of the beauty of it. You know, these ones that do the whole thing for you by pushing buttons, they're still fun, but it's not as fun as cranking that old wheel.
It's like the slot machines, right? It's like people don't like just hitting the button. They want to like pull the lever.
I do think my favorite penny press machine at Disneyland is the one at the end of Splash, just because it's themed to Splash Mountain.
So
I think that's
fun.
Great.
It's those ones, that, you know, it's very so old-fashioned. Old. It looks like there's little die cutouts and stuff. That's a great one.
Yeah. But then, you've seen it, right? It looks like the penny's going down the drop.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. No, that's like one of three that I distinctly remember.
Right. Well, and it's right there when you're getting off, so you kind of have to walk by it every time. So yeah, but we only have a few other things I think for packing, right, Steve?
Like, sure. Keep looking for those.
Yeah, sunglasses. You have to have sunglasses.
Oh, yes.
The sun is my enemy. I have light eyes, and so I get headaches if I look in the sun too much. So I'm like a vampire. Must have my sunglasses. and then also, if you're a gum chewer, Disneyland doesn't sell gum, so bring gum, because you're not going to find it in the parks.
But do keep in mind that the reason they don't sell it is because we don't want it all over the park. So make sure you throw it away if you take it in with you.
Mm-hmm. Don't be like Elf, like Buddy the Elf, and like... you know, pick it off.
Yeah, I think Lynn and Ken from the Sweet Spot would no, don't tell them to bring gum in the park.
Don't do it.
Be responsible with your gum chewing.
If it's your thing, bring gum. Mints are fun. My son, we love these wintergreen lifesavers, because if you're in the dark and you chew them, they spark in your mouth. So if you go into a really dark ride and you can look at each other and be chewing on your lifesaver. Anyway, it's fun. We're really dorks, you guys.
That's great. That's so fun.
All types of people,
I'm
going to
do that to you next time.
All stuff. Just doing them. And then also we wrote down some of our snacks that we like to take, because I think that's important with packing. Mm-hmm. So I just started off by writing hiking food. So things that you would bring hiking. It's kind of along the lines, because you don't want it to smash in your bag and melt. And it has to be kind of, you want a lot of protein. You want something really filling, so you're not wasting your time on junk, but it is fun to have junk sometimes too. So, granola bars, and there are these protein cookies that they have now. I saw them at Walmart that are kind of big. So we would split it and share it with each other. It's a little more fun than a protein bar. Protein bars are kind of tough sometimes, really drying. And then we have nuts, dried fruit. Rice Krispie treats are fun because they sell Rice Krispies in the park, but they don't seem to smash down super bad in your bag. Yeah. And so it's a fun, sweet treat to give your kids and eat yourself and whatever. So we like to bring those. And we found that Triscuits are a cracker that doesn't smash too bad in our backpacks. And we like to eat our Triscuits with beef jerky. So we'll kind of eat them together as a snack. I don't know.
Triscuits are crackers with sausage or something, but with
it's fun.
Triscuits are really nice because you can actually remove the whole thing from the box. because the cookies are, the crackers are so tight, they're kind of built strong. They really, as Debbie said, don't get broken up too much in a bag.
And Steve will normally carry the beef jerky in his bag. He always takes the beef jerky with him. It's just always been the way it's been.
The protector of the beef jerky.
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef? Also, they have these fruit leathers that we normally get at Costco. They're made they're really tiny, and they have a bunch of flavors. And so we'll grab one of those boxes and it has a ton, and we'll just grab a bunch of those and shove them in our bags. And we're not uber healthy people. We don't go to Disneyland to be healthy, but it's nice to have a few things that are remotely not too bad for you.
I want to know people that do go to Disneyland to be healthy. We want to go on the podcast.
Steve, there was that lady when we went on Midway Mania in Disney World. Remember that lady that was eating a giant cucumber? She was walking around eating just a straight cucumber, not a pickle, a cucumber. And she was sharing it with her daughter. I was aghast. What is happening right now?
How did you, how did you get that in and not have it just be a pulp just at the bottom of your bag?
You see some weird stuff.
And you almost want to tap her on the shoulder and say, they sell real nice pickles here, right?
Giant pickles.
She's real probably I don't like the pickling idea. Salty. I just want the actual.
I was she is healthy.
That's impressive. That's quite impressive, I think.
And then, good water content, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's healthy. The next things on my list were like fun candies. Like we like to take ring pops in and let our kids have a ring pop. It's kind of just fun. Mm-hmm. And then like Pop Rocks are fun because you just like sit there and you're like, ah, look at my mouth. It's popping. just really simple, dumb things. Those candy necklaces.
Yeah. I think it's such a good... It's one of those things that a lot of people don't realize, but it's a good thing to mention that you can bring food into the park. You can bring drinks into the parks.
So important. Yeah.
It's so ingrained that you know that you're not allowed to bring food into like movie theaters and pretty much, you know, anywhere. So it's really amazing.
You just can't bring glass.
That Disneyland or still allows you.
Or alcohol.
Yep.
We saw someone bringing alcohol in from their hotel.
Oh, really?
You know, like a bunch of little ones?
Little ones.
And they were
no.
They took the whole bag of them away from that guy. Wow. He was real sad. We're like, go to California Adventure.
But yeah, I will say, you know, where you can't take food, you normally sneak it in. But look, it's amazing that Disneyland doesn't even make you have to try to sneak it in. You can bring in whatever you'd like.
Somebody
as long as it's within their guidelines.
A friend of ours ordered a pizza and had it delivered to the front gates, and they met them out there and they just brought a whole pizza into the park. I was like, you guys are my heroes.
Like, I just want to know the delivery guy who's like, oh, delivering a pizza to Disneyland.
Somehow I'm gonna get over to the Esplanade. I don't know. That DoorDash person deserves a raise.
But see, I'm one of those weird people. Okay. First of all, I think I had to convert Teresa, and she has been converted to like 5 days in the park because she was like a 3-4 person before. And I'm like five.
Yeah.
And the other thing is like, I'm a, like some people like James's family, when they went to Disney World, when he was younger, they would like bring sandwiches and like, I've known families that would like leave and go eat across the street or somewhere else. I'm like, I'm at Disneyland. I'm going to pay the exorbitant prices and I'm going to eat Disneyland food because to me, and I know that it's expensive with families and it's not for everybody, but for me, I'm just going to eat everything in the park because like for me, that's part of the Disneyland experience.
Absolutely.
Is eating in the park.
Yeah.
And I was just going to say, I think it's really important to mention what we're suggesting is not for treats and things is a supplement to what you're actually going to have and partake of in the park, because there's nothing. Disney World food is garbage compared to Disneyland. Disneyland and their food, their treats, everything that they have is top notch. Top notch, except the turkey leg.
Give me a corn dog every day. I'm good.
So I would agree with you, Tig. You want to experience Disneyland, you have to partake of the food, the treats, the things that you're doing there. It can't be, if it's a cheap trip for you, great. But if you're if you're just trying to save some money don't do that at Disneyland.
Just plan to spend some money and do it right.
Well, and if you look, you know, you have all the menus now in the palm of your hand in your phone. It's amazing to me because I, for some reason, always thought Plaza Inn was very expensive. I don't know why. I always thought it was really, really expensive, but I did. And the last trip we were on, we were trying to debate between Plaza Inn and Bengal Barbecue. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, Bengal Barbecue is much cheaper. Well, then we were looking at the menus. I'm like, I can get so much more food at the Plaza Inn.
Well, you have fried chicken.
Yeah, like you get half a fried chicken for the same price as like two beef skewers on the plate over at Bengal Barbecue. I was shocked. So, I mean, it you can be budget friendly still in Disneyland but while eating the food. So I feel like I don't know if I just assumed these things or if it used to be more expensive in general. I don't know.
I think that there are things that people buy all the time that they see as expensive. So I know we just talked about the fact that they raised the prices for like bottled sodas.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that's people buy expensive. A lot of. So it's like they see that and they're like, well, this is like $6 for this bottle of soda that I can buy for $2.50 at the gas station. So everything else must be expensive. And I think there are overpriced things, especially a lot of their, not overpriced, but like expensive. Like a lot of the sweets and treats and things that like look really pretty, there's an upcharge kind of thing for that. But something like the fried chicken at Plaza Inn was a pretty good deal. Yeah. You know, you just have to look around for the deals because they're there.
Yeah. I would absolutely agree. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really, if you're a soda drinker, that's where they're going to get you. Because the sodas are pretty, what is it, like $4 or $5 for a fountain beverage $5 or $6 for the bottle. That is pretty steep when I can get my iced coffee.
And a lot of
five.
The places don't do refills for the fountain beverages either, which So, because the one of the things, like James and I, when we go eat outside of the park, like in normal life, is when we go to like a Chipotle, we'll order like a medium fountain beverage, and because the machine's there for us to refill, we'll just share it, because we'll just go up and refill it as many times as we need, and we don't have to worry about it. But Disneyland, like, we all have to get our own drinks, and like, so it adds up. Right. Anyway, we've gone way off topic with that. But.
No. We normally like have a huge breakfast, so we'll eat a big breakfast to get really full, and then we'll go into the parks and we'll do like a late lunch, early dinner, and then we'll get a big snack, like a fun snack in the nighttime, like Gibson Girl ice cream or one of those chimichangas. I don't
know.
Your
timing probably works out better to miss the crowds during doing that too.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And we like to eat the entire time we're in line. So we're literally munching back and forth all the time. And our kids bring all their own snacks in their bags. And so they'll just go, I'm hungry, and they'll pull out whatever they want. And so our daughter had a hard time when she was young. She would eat all of her snacks on the tram on the way from the parking structure. And I'm like, girl, you ate like 3 granola bars and a pack of fruit snacks. How did you do that? But she would just pregame for Disneyland Day on the tram. And she would crack me up. Oh, she's a trip. But so I mean, that's, I think the majority of our packing is that stuff, right, Steve? You would say that's pretty much it.
So
How I would love to know how that, so like, when you guys have a very extensive list, but you have kids, so your list has to be longer, but you've thought of things that we definitely never had thought of. So there's a lot of great info there. But now the question is, so you have all this stuff. How do you get this all into the park?
You know, security is a fun time. Yeah. They're like, what is happening right now? The last question is like, oh, I want to hang out with you. They'll look at our snacks. It's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. But
try bringing in podcasting equipment. That's
oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. You know what? They probably are used to it with all the YouTubers
they aren't,
and all
though.
That stuff.
They aren't, though, because I bring it and then they always are like, what are these for? And I'm like, we record a podcast. They're like, but you're not live broadcasting, right? I'm like, no, we sit down while we're eating or something and we talk about the park. And then they're like, I don't know. And then I'm like, the supervisor approved it last time. And then they're like, okay, well, sometimes they'll be like, okay, we'll take your word for it and like go.
Most
or
of some, the time,
yeah.
Fine.
Or there's the, hold on, let me get my supervisor over here. And then the supervisor is over. And every time the supervisor's like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
You just can't live broadcast like a radio show or something from there. I'm like, yeah, we're not
doing
that.
Which is interesting, since you can, like, there's YouTube Live.
You can live YouTube it.
Yeah.
But this is like more professional looking equipment. Yeah, so I think they just don't want
more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had so much fun talking with Devi and Steve that we actually have enough for 2 whole episodes. So next week we will talk about the awesome bags that are coming out that are available for pre-order now that they have created for Disney Parks goers specifically. These bags are amazing. So tune in next week for them talking about that, how they came up with the design, what the bags are like, and how you can order one for yourself.
It's okay. I'll be the only weekly tier without an answer. Make sure you send your questions to Producer James or Producer Vern at trivia@doweekly.net.
Welcome back to Trivia Land, where we're going to find out how Tag and Teresa did. Tag and Teresa, how do you think you did?
Oh, man. We'll see.
30%.
We will see.
Well, you know, I got to hand it to those listeners that submit questions. They are not nice to you.
They have good questions. They really do.
Yes. We have the best listeners, and they send in some of the best questions, and this was not as easy of a week for you as it was last week. But let's find out how you did. Your first question, submitted by listener Hannah R. When you enter Disneyland, you hear an animal sound as they scan your ticket. What sound is that, and what Disney movie does it hail from? You were both correct in saying it's the tweet of a bird. And that tweet comes from Zippity-Doo-Dah from Song of the South.
Did not know that. Very interesting.
What was your flail? Was that for a different question?
Yeah, I think this might be something with Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Oh, maybe.
I think the construction company might be. If it's not
too
the
late
pigs,
now.
I think it's Huey, Dewey. There was something with Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Too late now.
It is too late.
So do we get a half a point?
Yes. You were awarded half a point for each of you on that one. Your second regular round question, submitted by listener Ruben O. In 2005, Madame Leota's seance room in Disneyland received some new additions, among them a new spellbook, Necronomicon, Book of the Dead. What page is it flipped open to? The correct answer was 1313. Correct Teresa. Going to Teresa. Page 1313.
What was your flail this time?
I do keep flailing, don't I?
She's just over here and she like spasms.
Because all of a sudden, when he, after Vern said that it was the bird from Zippity Doodah, I'm like, why do I know that? Because I've not seen this, the movie Song of the South. But on my Disney Pandora, the song, Zippity, you know, the Zippity Doodah song comes on and it's in there. And that's why all of a sudden I'm like, that's where I've heard it from.
But 1313, look at you.
Dumb luck.
I figured that you would know that one just because of all the 1313 references with Haunted Mansion.
I suppose. No,
but there's overdoing it, though.
My logic was it's not like it's like halfway through a giant book.
Sure.
Sure. All right. Your third regular round question from listener Keith N. What year did the Dapper Dans debut? You guessed 1982 and 1975. The answer that we were looking for was 1959.
We were way off.
I told you it was going to be something in the 50s, probably.
I don't think I've seen pictures of the Dapper Dans from that far back. How cool.
Did they have cameras that long ago?
I need to do a deep dive on the Dapper Dans now, since I clearly do not have enough Dapper Dan history.
Don't go to Wikipedia. There's nothing.
It just says, performs at Disneyland since 1959.
Yeah.
And there's a citation that takes you to the Disneyland Encyclopedia 3rd edition.
Yep.
Which Teresa has.
Somewhere.
And your fourth regular round question submitted by listener Ace. According to the signs posted around town, what is the name of the construction company that is doing all the work in Toontown? You were so close.
Oh, no.
It's related to the Three Little Pigs. It's the Chinny Chin Chin Construction Company.
Oh, clever. Very clever.
And your bonus question tonight from listener Stephen S. The phrase, I'm going to Disneyland, was an advertising campaign that began in 1987, where sports MVPs uttered the phrase after winning a championship, followed by a visit to either Disneyland or Disney World. Who was the first sports star to visit Disneyland as part of this campaign, and who was the most recent? There were two that were the most recent. I gave you credit because it was Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. Who went in 2021.
Nice.
So you got Tom Brady. I gave you the half a point for that.
Good.
You should have gotten Rob too, but I'll let you slide. And then the first one was Phil Sims in 1987.
According to, again, Wikipedia, following Super Bowl 21 in 87, a Disney commercial starred Giants quarterback Phil Sims, where he was asked, what are you going to do? And he replied, I'm going to Disney World. He was paid $75,000 for it. Oh, here we go.
Oh, here we go.
Here's a whole thing. So the last Disneyland was Tom Brady and Julian Edelman from the Patriots. Because Tom Brady and Gronkowski said Disney World. Yeah. And then the first actual Disneyland one was Magic Johnson from the Lakers at the NBA Finals. And Doug Williams from the Redskins. In Super Bowl 22 said Disney World and Disneyland. I don't understand how that works. Then he stopped. Okay, moments after the Super Bowl ended, Doug Williams trotted off the field with his jubilant Washington teammates to begin the celebration. He then stopped for a moment and announced into a television camera the new standard speech for big event MVPs, I'm going to Disney World. Then he did it again, this time saying I'm going to Disneyland. Never mind what direction he was headed. Geography isn't the point here. What counts is the spots marked the beginning of what figures to be a marketing bonanza for the quarterback. So they did pay for it. So I assume that they paid him for both, and I guess they'll probably just do different cuts. I'll bet you they did different cuts, one for east of the Mississippi, one for west of the Mississippi.
Maybe. Well, listeners, how did you do listening at home? How do you feel about how Tag and Teresa did tonight? Do you think you've got the perfect question that can really stump them in the future? Well, if you do, feel free to send that to us at trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.